Welcome to this episode of the Circle of the Panda podcast. Our guest on this episode is Christine Spagnola. Christine, I've been following for a while on LinkedIn. I could not wait to get her as a guest, and you're going to find out why in this episode. But she isn't your typical headhunter. With nearly 20 years of experience recruiting for founders and CEOs across industries, from SaaS and construction to legal and even wineries, she has built a reputation for uncovering hidden talent, not just filling roles. As a principal of the Sorrel Group, Christine has helped businesses land top-tier candidates who align with their vision. Her approach goes beyond job titles and LinkedIn profiles. She focuses on finding the right fit where skill meets purpose. Beyond recruitment, Christine coaches professionals on life design, helping them build careers that align with their values and ambitions. She also works with recruiters looking to break free from the agency or corporate world and create a business on their own terms. A digital nomad at heart, Christine has spent the last 10 years embracing change, living across the world, and proving that success doesn't require a fixed address. She is passionate about personal growth and helping people step outside their comfort zones to design a life they truly love. When she's not matchmaking executives with their dream roles, you'll find her fostering animals, diving into deep conversations, or sharing sharp insights on LinkedIn. And that's how she caught my attention. I just saw some of the stuff she was sharing. So will you be a guest and listen to this episode? When I recorded this episode, it almost is like I got a short but full coaching experience that altered the way I viewed some possibilities. So listen in and enjoy. Christine, thank you for being on this podcast episode with me.
Oh my God, JD, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I've been in touch a few times over the last couple of months. I've been watching you. I don't know if you call it stalking's a bad. What do you call it when you've noticed somebody online and you're going, they're making me curious? We ought to call this podcast curiosity or something, but I've been watching you online and you have some great stuff that you're putting out. Great stuff.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So I thank you for saying yes to me.
Oh my God, of course. I mean, I definitely understand the curiosity. And when you reached out, I was like, I'm super curious. I want to learn more.
Nice. Okay. So I'm going to get started. Now, hey, if you hear a crackle in the background, I got this candle. It says relax. This is kind of like.
I love those. They're
so I guessed right. I did this in honor of you. I said a relaxed candle in the background. Okay. Yes. So I got that right.
Yes. I love it.
All right. So I was, by the way, late happy birthday.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, it was a week ago today. I can't believe it's a week, but thank you so much.
So let's start with some of the things that make me curious. I just kind of want to get to the point. You know, I have read your post. I recommend that everyone reads your post. It's going to be a link in the show notes down here. You seem, one of them, you seem to love what you do. You love what you do. How did you get there? So how did you get, and what do you do, and how did you get there?
Good question. I don't know how detailed you want me to be, but if I,
Plenty, because we all want that place. So as detailed as you want to be.
Awesome. Well, let's start with, I always knew that I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I always knew that if I put myself out there, I would figure it out. So I started in animal biology and originally was going to become a vet. And I knew intuitively that building a brick and mortar business would keep me very much planted in one place. So I knew intuitively, even though I've invested all this time in school, I'm about to graduate from animal biology and apply to vet school, I was like, wait a second, this is not right. So it was a tough decision because obviously my family and everyone around me was very supportive and wanted to see me go in that direction. But I knew that I had to be true to myself or I'd be miserable. Mm-hmm. So I took off. I moved to Thailand and soon realized that Thailand wasn't where I wanted to be. So actually the day of the tsunami, I moved to Barbados. And which was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. So spent some time in Barbados and I had been going back and forth through school and I knew that the Caribbean is where I wanted to be. And my parents at the time were like, what are you doing? Like, how did you go from, you know, going in this direction to going that direction? My dad was very supportive because he was just like, you got to do you. My mom was more like, you know, in the box, wanted me to climb the corporate ladder and do that thing. And I was like, absolutely not. So while kind of trying to figure it out, I became a personal trainer because I obviously had to make money. So as, you know, being a personal trainer, I realized that like, I absolutely love coaching individuals. So I knew like something that I like to do, but I didn't know that like, that was something like, I didn't think I would make a career out of that, but I was like, I like coaching. Then I moved, you know, when I was in Barbados, I was personal training there and I realized I really liked connecting people. Mm-hmm. So whenever someone was in town or going somewhere, I'm like, you need to talk to this person. You need to talk to that person. Fast forward, I went back to Canada, you know, on vacation to visit my family. And my mom was like, when are you going to get a real job? Like, what are you doing? And I was like, honestly, I don't know what that is yet, but like, I just need to be out there and it will come. And then my mom said, well, what are you passionate about? And I said, networking. She's like, well, what are you going to do with networking? And I was like, I don't know, but there's something there. And until I find it, I'm not going to stop. She thought I was crazy, but she was like, okay. So then she said, can you just do me one favor? And I said, okay, can you go see Trisha? And I was like, well, who's Trisha? She's like, Trisha placed me in my position. She's the headhunter. I didn't even know what that was. I didn't know what that meant, but I was like, let me make mom happy before I move back to the Caribbean and I'll go see Trisha. So I did. And I remember sitting in that seat and Trisha asked me, she's like, so what do you want to do? And I said, anything but sales. She said, okay. And I, at that time, felt like sales was kind of like slimy, sleazy. So it just was not in alignment. And I didn't really know the other parts of sales. So she said, okay. And she was asking me all these questions. And I was like, wait a second, what do you do? And when she told me, I was like, that's my dream job. You get paid to connect people? I'm like, I connect people for free. And then she's like, but it's sales. I'm like, no, it's not. It's connecting people. And she's like, well, she's like, it's also 100% commission. And I was like, well, that's amazing because to me, that meant unlimited vacation. So I was like, sign me up. So that day I ended up meeting everyone at the firm and I was like, this is it. This is what I want to do. And I remember after that meeting, going home and pulling up my laptop and typing in like, what is a headhunter? And I was blown away. So I was hired. I said goodbye to the Caribbean, moved back to Toronto, and I've been recruiting ever since.
All right. So you, I was making... Most people are going to be listening to this on the podcast, Atlas, but if you see me look to the right, I'm making notes because you just added a whole lot of things. These weren't questions I intended. So how do you, how did you keep your focus? So early on, you said, I don't want to do brick and mortar. I have this certain lifestyle. Did you have any trouble staying focused on what it was that you wanted to do, the lifestyle?
Well, I think it was very much just knowing that the two most important things for me were freedom and flexibility. And I knew that whatever I did, that had to be what it was and what it gave me.
Okay. Now, why do you like being, what's that? Pardon me? What
did
you say?
I'm not flexible on that. It was just, had to be that. Or give
you really have the courage and the and the ability to focus on it and not budge from that. I heard you said something, love some of the things that you say. What are you passionate about? And you said, I'm going to stay on that until I find the answer.
Yes.
Because a lot of us will go, well, but I need to make pay the bill. So therefore, you get into a brick and mortar or a situation where you can't have that lifestyle. But you said, I am not going to settle for less than what I'm passionate for.
Yep.
Yes. Now, why are, now the connecting, the headhunter part, what parts about it do you like so much? Other than the lifestyle.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, it's, I love connecting people. I don't know. It's just the way my brain works. When I meet someone, I'll always remember them. And when I meet someone else and I know they're going to benefit by that connection, I always want to put them in touch. So whether you call it super connector or whatever, it's just like, it's ingrained in me to do that and to always help someone get somewhere with somebody else. So it was easily translated to headhunting for clients and saying, okay, you need this person to help you either take your company from A to B or help you with this team. And it was so rewarding on both sides to have a really happy client and a really happy candidate because it's win-win. And I was like, this is amazing. And that's why I still love it to this day.
I knew, but it didn't take long for my curiosity to come to, I knew why. I mean, I knew you were going to run out of the gate, hit this thing. Okay. So I know there's a lot of money in that, but you know what I'm hearing is you love the fact that you're serving others. You're serving two people and your intent is to make their lives better by connecting. That
I will do that till the day I die. It's an obsession. It's an obsession. Yeah. And it's true. It's like, I love serving people in those ways. It's like, how do I get you to the next level? And if I can do it, especially through connection, I'm down.
Now, is there something in your upbringing or did you see this trait somewhere when you were younger that just is ingrained in you to have that desire to do that?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I wouldn't say, I think I was always curious.
Mm-hmm.
So by being curious, you dig deep on who someone is, what their life is, where they want to go and what they need. So when you're curious, you ask a lot of questions. And when you ask a lot of people a lot of questions, you find out where these common denominators are and how these people can help each other. So I think from a young age, it would be curiosity. And as I, you know, became a young adult and I was out in the world, it was constantly being curious about people and then being like, oh, just naturally, like you need to talk to this person or, oh, you want to do this? Go to this person. So I love referrals because I'm just always like, and it's exciting to me.
Yeah.
And I have to say too, throughout my life, this is something that most people don't know. I should probably write about one day. I have five marriages under my belt.
Five what?
Marriages. I've hooked five couples up that have got married.
Oh.
So nice. Even on like the love side, I'm like, oh my God, you need to meet this person. And then boom, married.
Hey, it's a gift. Seems like it's a gift. You just kind of landed in what you were created to do. I mean, seems like it's a talent.
Hey, that's what I'm looking for. I love it. I love it.
So I saw a post. If I take this out of context to me, this is another thing that made me curious. You seem to be comfortable stepping outside your comfort zone.
Yes.
I think I saw something where you were doing a live video online and or something. It was your first. And you said, okay, I've not done this before, but here I am. Is that true? Did I see that right?
Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to speak about it, I got to be about it. And, you know, through headhunting, I've done a lot of coaching. And we all know that in order to get to the next step, we have to step out of our comfort zone. So if I'm constantly coaching and encouraging people to do just that, I myself also have to do it, or really it means nothing. So video was definitely a challenge for me. It is something I need to do more of. I just have find the time, but it's, yeah, it's just doing things that are uncomfortable and scare you. And that's really the only way to do it.
So if I was a client, you're coaching me and you're trying to say, you know, back in your coaching days, how do you get some of your clients to step outside that comfort zone? What are your accountability systems? What do you do?
A big thing is accountability. A big thing is making someone realize just how important it is and really what will be on that other side. Mm. So it's like understanding that is the answer. And it's hard and it's scary, but everything you want is there. So why are you holding yourself back? And once they understand that, then it's really like the push, the accountability. And it's funny because people in my life call me like the pusher. They're like, oh, go talk to Christine, the pusher. Cause I will push, you know, in a very like nice way, but I will push you and you'll come back and be like, thank you. And it's uncomfortable. But I will push. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me make sure I'm getting this correct. Let me make sure I'm understanding it. So you would almost paint an image of what it would look like on the other side. And then you would map out, okay, in order to get to the other side, here's some things you need to do. And some of them are going to be uncomfortable. And then you would just push. Yeah. So at one point it clicks. Point it just kind of clicks for them?
And I'll give them like little things to do, like little small steps. Cause I think sometimes as you look at like something and it's just like seems so big, but you can take little steps to get there. And when you take those little steps, it feels good. You feel accomplished. And then you're one step closer to like what you really want. But it's very intuitive, right? And none of us are created equal. We all move in different ways. We all need to experience different things. So what gets one person to A is not necessarily how the other person is going to get there, or from A to B. And I think we all have to like appreciate that just because I do it one way doesn't mean you're going to do it the same way. So it's like, what is going to work for you? So that's really what it is.
You know, for the people listening, I want them to hear how unique that is, because a lot of coaches or consultants or whoever will say, here is this box. You must do these steps. And what you're saying is find them where they are.
Yes. And to that note, it's like coaching is one of my favorite things to do. And it is that what you just talked about is why I only coach 2 to 3 people at any given time, because it isn't a copy paste. It is such a deep dive and it is such an intuitive guidance, and everyone needs to be helped in such a different way that I can't energetically handle more than 2 to 3 people, because it is a lot of work. And you know, not to put any other coach down, because I think everyone can give something what they need. But I just, there's no two journeys that will ever be the same. They can be similar, but they're internally can be very different.
Yeah. Yeah. I learned that last week. I was engaging with a group I love to engage with. And I realized very quickly, you have to look at every single situation, every single person as a unique.
Totally. That was something I learned in my 20s, because I really wanted everyone in my life to be free. And I would almost like tell them how to be free, but the only way I knew was how I did it. And then something clicked and I was like, wait, everyone's going to get there a different way and at a different time. And I have to, because I've trusted my process, I need to trust their process and then help them feel comfortable in trusting their own process. And that's why like the comparison game is the worst thing anyone could ever do.
Yes.
is because that's not, you can be inspired, but when you feel you have to do it the same way, like that's when you really get out of alignment and that's when you're in trouble.
Yes. Yes. What you're doing is so non-humble and non-judgmental. Yeah, because it's, you want your ego. People want to get their ego involved in it, but I want them to go from here to here. What? You know, wait, yeah. Let them.
Yeah.
It's supportive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the interesting thing about ego is once we like really go inwards, we realize it's actually the ego that prevents you from stepping out of your comfort zone. Because that ego is like, no, we're good here. We're safe. And it's the ego that actually prevents you from getting to where you need to be.
Yeah, like, oh, wait a minute, when I know this, I may not like this place, but I know this place.
Yeah.
Yes. Why do I want to give that up to go someplace I don't know? It's the fear of it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true.
Now, you're an, I saw on your profile, a nomad.
Yes.
What's the lifestyle like as a nomad?
Ah. It can be so different depending on where you're at and what it is that you really want to do. I think my nomadic journey started very much super fast. And I was in new cities every couple days. And this is, you know, about 10 years ago. And as time has, you know, gone by, I've really embraced the slow life. So I try to stay in any place for at least 3 months. I got really tired and now I've been in Tulum. I just extended for one more month. So I'll be here for 6 months before moving to the next place. And it really is just like what I want at that time. So it's like, do I need to slow down, focus, and stay in one spot? Or am I feeling like I really want to explore and try new things?
Yeah. And I guess with the birthday, what, 25th? Don't tell me what, 25th birthday, 26th birthday. Oh, but forever. On your birthday, you did a great post on there about it when you were reflecting. I didn't plan to ask you this question, but if you don't want to answer it, say you don't want to answer, okay? But you, in a couple of your posts, you've said something about 5 years alcohol free.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of people that are struggling. Mm-hmm. With life these days, and they're leaning on that.
Yeah.
Do you mind sharing some wisdom?
No, of course. It's something that 6 years ago, if you told me that this is what was going to happen to me, I would not have believed you. my life, especially the city life and the travel life, really revolved around alcohol, whether I was meeting friends for dinner, taking clients out, traveling somewhere new, it just, alcohol was just there. And it wasn't a bad thing. But when the pandemic happened and we were forced to slow down, I thought to myself, wow, this is the perfect time to do a cleanse. I don't have to see clients. I'm not traveling. I'm not being social. I'm at home. And so really like what started off as a cleanse, just I really started to see the benefits and I was like, wow. And then as time goes on, there's different layers that come off and it not only does it feel good, but like things in life just become deeper, whether it's like your relationships, your connection to yourself, the intention of why you do certain things, where you put yourself, you know, and it was just such a beautiful experience. And again, you know, after 100 days, then it was 1 year, then it was 2 years, and it's just kind of been a thing.
I hope you have this written in a book or you do your own podcast, you record it, whatever it is, because you mentioned something else that ought to be a really explored more. Layers.
Mm-hmm.
You said the different layers started coming off. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Ooh. Well, I feel like growth in general is all about peeling back layers. We never fully heal. We never become perfect. Mm-hmm. All we do is consistently pull back layer after layer. And with alcohol specifically, you know, there's immediate things. So like the first layer is better sleep. I'm more hydrated. I look good. I've lost weight. So there's like immediate physical things. And then as you go deeper, then you realize, okay, next layer. Well, why did I drink? Why am I not fun in environments where people are drinking? Wait, I feel disconnected to these people that I used to drink with. And so it just becomes another layer, another layer. And then it's like, wait, so I used to drink to make things more fun? Well, why wasn't I doing things that are fun in the first place? So it's just like constant realizations. And even with dating, that was a huge one. It's because a lot of times we drink on first dates to calm our nervous system, right? Mm-hmm. And because our nervous system is the best thing for us, especially in dating. And it's like, why would you want to shut down your nervous system when you're meeting someone? Because your nervous system is telling you, do I feel safe with this person? Do I feel comfortable? Mm-hmm. And we often will block that out at the beginning when really we should have been connected to that from the start.
Yeah, it's like you remove something that opened the door to figure out where the true healing was. Like, why did I do that in the first place? Oh, wait, I've never heard anyone describe it that way, but it was a process of healing. And why am I doing this in the first place? Oh, that. Okay, well, let me work on that one. And then now understand the different layers start peeling off.
Connecting with people is just so much more intentional. The choices you make are so much more intentional. You start to do other things with your time. Because it's easy to be like, let's go get drinks. Where now it's like, hey, do you want to go to sound bath? Do you want to go to yoga? Do you want to go to an ecstatic dance? Do you want, like, there's just so many things that you can do that don't involve alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah, you feel it. I was going to ask that. Well, often people will remove something like that. And then if you're not careful, something else comes in that's even worse. You know, that'll sweep the house clean and then something else comes in. But yeah. you filled it with a positive. You took alcohol in moderation. I mean, but you removed it and you filled it with something positive. And that's part of the key, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, listen, we all have trauma. We all have things that we run away from, but it's like, some people never get to that point, but once you realize that like distraction and running away from things is not the solution. And alcohol is a big one. A lot of people, you know, will push things aside or distract themselves with alcohol, and it's really not doing you any favors.
No. All right, this is a bit random. What is life path number 8? What does that mean?
Yeah. So your life path number is actually super, super easy to figure out. So you take your birthday, so the month, the date, and the year, and you just add each number until it's a single digit. Does that make sense?
You take each number until it's a single digit.
Yeah. So if you were to write your birthday down, so when's your birthday?
Mm-hmm. March 26th.
Oh, no way. It's coming up. Very excited. Yeah. So you're going to go 03. So 0 plus 3 plus 2 plus 6 and then the year.
So okay, 66. Yeah.
So you would do 0 plus 3 plus 2 plus 6 plus 1 plus 9 plus 6 plus 6. So March 26, 1966. So you're going to take those and you're going to add it. It'll probably be a double digit and then you'll bring it down to its single.
Oh, I see. Okay. Thank you.
You need to do it. It's really cool.
I will. Because you described yours. You said, I'll take it. I saw on your birthday post. I was reading your birthday post. You said it's the number 8. I'll take it. What was the description? What does it mean? What does it say that?
So eight is very abundant. It's like the infinity sign. You know, it's a constant, and it really does bring a lot of abundance to your life. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
Now, I could, if you allowed me, I could stay on here for 2 or 3 hours because you just have such an amazing story. So I will try to be aware of your time because we're running close to the thing here. But I do want to, you said, you wrote, you know, I told you, before I said, I don't know what you would call me, but I've been studying your information. You said, enjoy the little things.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about that.
Wow. I mean, there's so many directions we can go here, but I think enjoy the little things comes down to one very important thing. And it all starts with gratitude. And a life without gratitude is shit. It sucks. Like, I can't imagine what life would be without gratitude. And I think people forget that the easiest... Sorry, my fridge is making a wild noise. people forget that there's so many little things in our life that we need to be grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, especially with social media, you know, we think we need something when really all we need is right in front of us. If your basic human needs are met, food, shelter, water, like the only thing that drives happiness is human connection. So we need to be grateful for the little things, you know, having a roof over your head, being able to sleep in a warm bed, loving what you do, enjoying your coffee in the morning, having time to yourself to do the things that you love, being able to do things, even just being able to walk. You know, it's when you realize that, wow, like this is really all I need. It really makes life that much more like rewarding and just like you're just happy that you like you're able to do all these things.
It's hard to put your head, because the other day I was having one of those, you woke up in the middle of the night from a dream and you get up in the morning and for whatever reason I said, wait a minute, and I started counting my blessings. Thank you so much. And then it was almost like this magical door opened.
And it's one thing that with, you know, every single person, sometimes they don't realize that really just their life just lacks the gratitude. And the easiest way to kind of program your brain to be in that space is just to write down 5 things you're grateful for. You know, every morning you wake up or right before you go to bed, just think of 5 things, like, what am I grateful for? And they don't have to be big. It could be like, I am so happy that I have hot water. I am so happy that I have a warm bed to sleep in. I am so happy that I got to have coffee with my friend today. I am so happy that I get to work remotely. I am so happy that I work for someone who really, like, you know, encourages me to be the best version of myself in my space. There's so many little things, and like, we forget that, like, we are blessed every day.
Yeah. 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 Well, yeah. Well, let me see if I've missed anything, and then you add to it, because I, like I told you in the beginning, normally I'll send these before the recording. This is going to be harder than most, because you talk about a full life already, and you're still very young, just a full life. So let me see if I've missed anything. Okay. That everyone needs to hear.
Yeah.
So at one point you said, here's what I'm going to find something I'm passionate about, and I'm going to stay focused on that until I get there. It had a component in it of making life better for other people.
Yes.
Which I would think that's got to be a part. Whatever you focus on, you're passionate about, if you can add that piece in, it would seem that your chance of success is better than people that don't have that why. That's like a why for
right.
you.
Yeah. All I want to do is just make sure that anyone that is in my network or that I get connected to can make their life better in some way. And that could be through work. It could be through their relationships. It could be through their connection to self. But everyone has something. And if I can help them get to where they want to be, like, I absolutely love doing that.
Everybody has something. Everybody has something. And you said at one point, find them where they are. Everybody has something. Help them get to that place. You're also very obviously, you're not afraid to take chances, get outside of your own comfort zone, go for it.
Yeah.
With that bit, always with that bit of gratitude at the base of it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
So any advice that you would give the listeners and viewers, it's going to be on social media in several different places. Any advice that you would give that we may have missed?
Do what scares you.
I love that one. Yes.
And move with gratitude.
Hmm. Do what scares you and move with gratitude.
Yeah. And always stay curious.
Writing this down. Although I'm going to edit and listen to the recording, I get to see the transcription. This is too good not to write in this little journal.
Yeah. I mean, those are three key elements. I don't think you can go wrong if you stick to those things.
How can people find you? What's the best way to find you?
I think the easiest way to find me is LinkedIn. Yeah, I've actually, you know, it's a platform that's relatively new to me and it's been awesome so far. And yeah, so I think LinkedIn is probably the best way.
For those that maybe be a little bit jaded on LinkedIn, because it, you know, social media's got a little messy and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
There are some shining stars out there. That's why you stood out. Because I was curious, I said, she is standing out. So I just recommend everybody reach out to you, read your materials. Christine, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Been a real joy.
Thank you so much. This was so lovely. I really appreciate it.